This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. If you're lucky enough, you might spot an oriental pied hornbill flying around Taman Rimba Kiara in Taman Tun Dr. Ismail. You can also catch sight of other species of birds like the Brahmini kites, crested goshawks, and last week, you might have even seen flocks of purple-backed starlings. This small and threatened urban park is an ideal ground for bird watching and is teeming with other wildlife, insects, and plants. And I find out more about what this small park has to offer from Rosalind Chua. She's an avid bird watcher and Taman Rimba Kiara nature blogger who has been documenting the flora and fauna found in the park since 2014. Welcome, Rosalind. How are you today?
Thank you, Juliet, for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm so glad that you managed to join us today. So I know that Taman Rimba Kiara is practically your backyard. Am I correct?
Yes. Very dear to me since I started birding there.
Tell me about that. You know, what triggered your love for the outdoors and wildlife?
Especially birding. I started actually with garden birds, and then the interest developed, and then I found out, you know, there's more to birding than just common garden birds. Mm-hmm. You have the forest birds, you have the highland, lowland. I mean, it's amazing. When we look at birds with our naked eyes, they are just like sometimes bullets, you know?
Yeah.
That just
zip past,
exactly. But when you get up close, you know, with cameras, of course. Yeah, then that's where, you know, the fascination, the thrill begins. And I suppose I was hooked then, you know. And of course, came Taman Rimba Kiara. As you mentioned, it is practically my backyard. So I go there very regularly, if not almost every day if I can.
Wonderful.
And that also started my blogging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you always interested in bird life, and were you always a birder, or was it just seeing the little fellas flying around in your garden?
Yeah, it just started. I come from Taiping, so I go back to my house, my home, which has a big garden, unlike in KL. So that's where, you know, I picked up that interest. And anybody can do it. Just sit in your garden, observe, and, you know, let your interest develop.
I think that's exactly what, like, the bird watchers that, you know, like MNS and all are organized. And they just ask you to sit in your backyard and just observe. And you suddenly realize all the different types of birds that are actually around us.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, put them into two categories. Mm. We have the bird watchers. Mm-hmm. You go around with a binoculars. And I suppose the exciting part comes in when you walk around with a camera. You see? Uh-huh. So, well, a lot of people say it is an expensive hobby. But you don't have to start with a DSLR. Okay. Don't be put off by those super zoom, or we call them a bazooka, you know, lens. Just start with a point and shoot, which I did.
Right.
And I just, you know, it took me 5 years to where I am with my ideal, you know, camera or lens.
Right. And okay, I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. So when you first started, you know, how did you kind of arm yourself with the knowledge of the different types of birds that you are witnessing? Like, would you take photos and then kind of go and research and see what birds they were?
Right. It is very personal, actually. Birding is very personal. It is up to the individual. Mm-hmm. You can be very happy just bird watching, taking photographs, or you want a little bit more. You want to know a bit more. And I have to say that blogging has really added a different dimension to birding for me. When I blog, when I write, I have to know. I have to have some background information. When I meet birders, I will ask them. Mm-hmm. This. So this is what one should do. Not just, a lot of us, I'm not criticizing those who are just walking around taking photographs.
Sure.
You know, it is up, basically up to the individual. Mm-hmm. So you learn as you go along what is your objective in birding, what you want to get out of birding. Mm-hmm. For some people, they just want quality photographs. But birding is fascinating, whatever your objective is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something else I wanted to talk about, that you started blogging, right? So what made you want to actually start cataloging in that sense?
I started actually before 2014. It was just taking photographs because of beautiful birds.
Right.
It was just that. And it is actually Taman Rimba Kiara that triggered this blogging. And funnily, is actually the loss of this tree, Mata Lembu. I call them the Mata Lembu flowers, which I have used the flowers as my blog header photograph.
Right.
And I've mentioned, I've even a little caption there. One day, you know, it was there, and the next, it was gone.
Wow.
And I just thought, oh my God, is this what is going to happen to this park? You know, it is the tree today. It could be the birds tomorrow. And it could be the entire park tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
Now we are fighting for the survival of the park.
Yeah.
So I said, I just have to do some recording. You know, I just have to like start a journal. Again, it is a personal, you know, very personal to me that I want to do as much as I can to record what I see in the park. You need not be a very knowledgeable person. If you read my blog, there are very simple things that I write about, that I observe. I'm very thrilled when I get a significant experience,
mm-hmm.
like the Brahmini kites, you know, the death of the Brahmini kite, which inspired my book. I told myself, whenever I need a story, I can go to the park and the park will give me a story. It can be just watching birds squabbling, you know, or it can just be watching, oh, I'm not, you know, a juvenile bird. I'll say, oh, I've not seen this before. And the juvenile bird is so different from the adult.
Right.
That's when you start to sit down and observe. You go back and do some research. Or when you cannot identify a bird. And of course, the exciting period is when the migrant birds come.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and that only happened for a few months in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does spill over to the following year. Normally, they will come late August and you will fly back in March, April. You have to be very open, very alert to what comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the recent significant... We have three sightings, very significant sightings in TRK recently. Very rare birds. They are what we call passage migrants.
Okay.
They come in for only one night maybe, 2 days, 3 days at most, 1 week.
Wow.
And they're gone. So
if you catch them, you're lucky.
Yeah. You know, like we have the black-backed kingfisher recently. My God, it brought, I think, more than 100 birders to the park. Never before.
Amazing.
Yeah. That is what is so thrilling, mm-hmm. you know, about birding.
And I think, you know, for a lot of us, you know, it's this little park right here in the centre of, well, Taman Tun, you know, bustling Taman Tun.
Yeah.
And yet it is such a such an important place for these migratory birds.
Exactly. To me, the park, it's not just the park. We have to take care of the immediate area surrounding the park. You see, birds are known to have flown into glass doors or glass windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can imagine what high-rise buildings will do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If the bird is lucky, it will just, you know, be stung mm-hmm. and it will fly off. But it is also reported that they can fly off after they have flown into glass doors or windows, but they die eventually because of injury to the brain.
Oh. And obviously, this is what, you know, the residents are fighting for, right? To prevent more high-rise. There is already high-rise around that area. So,
yes.
Of course, that is what we're fighting for. But after this quick break, we're going to talk a bit more about the different sort of birds that we can find there. I know, as I mentioned earlier, there's the Oriental Pied Hornbill, which is quite the popular residence, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, iconic bird.
Iconic birds, very
yes.
iconic birds. I'm speaking today to Rosalind Chua. She's an active blogger at rumbakiara.blogspot.com and she's joining us today to talk about the different types of birds and flora and fauna that's found in the very humble Taman Rimba Kiara. And we'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Rosalind Chua. She's a nature blogger. She has a book called Home in the Park, which is about some residents from Taman Rimba Kiara, some Brahmini kites. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after this. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, there is a resident and can I say iconic Oriental Pied Hornbill who lives
yes.
in Taman Rimba Kiara. And I think we've seen, I think there are a couple of them and they do come and visit outside as well, if I'm not mistaken.
No, there's only one, actually.
Only one, okay.
Yes, but back in 2010, I believe, I've written about it in my blog. There were two. Mm-hmm. This is my personal observation and record.
Sure.
There were two hornbills. One oriental pied hornbill and one black hornbill.
Okay.
And the black hornbill is it's more of a forest hornbill.
Right.
So I guess eventually it left. It didn't stay on.
Okay.
So we are left with this lonely, you know, poor one hornbill.
Okay.
So I feel that if we can really save the park, we should take serious measure. We must take serious measure to keep the hornbill here.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do it. MNS can do it. Mm-hmm. So I would love to work, you know, with MNS actually to hold on to this hornbill.
Because I know he's come to, I'm not sure if it's a male or a female.
It's a female.
It's a female, right? Yes. And she comes to visit some of the residents, I think, in the condos around as well. She's quite a long time resident. But is it normal for hornbills to be in these sorts of areas?
Yes, hornbills have been sighted actually in other urban areas as well.
Okay, all
but right. But I think this is very, our hornbill is very special. Yeah, because it is seen everywhere, not just in the park.
Right.
And people are just excited when they see it perching on the lamppost.
Yeah.
You know?
It's...
And we have reports of people saying how the hornbill will go to the window to knock on the window, you know, to ask for food.
Oh,
you know,
my
because
goodness.
There are, people have fed it.
I see.
Yeah. Not exactly
the right
food, I'm afraid to say. But, you know. They're just excited. Can you imagine having a big bird outside your window?
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen photos of it and I got excited. But, I mean, there are other, of course, fauna to be found there. I mean, you do blog mostly about the birds, but what are some of the other animals that we can find there as well?
Okay, you see, it is reported that, going back to birding or to birds, that the presence of birds does suggest a healthy environment. Why are birds there? Because they are food.
Mm-hmm.
And birds feed on insects, fish, tree worms or grubs, you know. So why are there so many birds in Taman Rimba Kiara? It is so special. We have the ponds there. We have a river running alongside the park. So, you know, when you are looking for birds, you will naturally see the insects, the unusual insects.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the birds don't go for the cicadas, but they do go for other insects, the flying bugs, beetles. So yes, in Taman Rimba Kiara, if you take leisurely walk, I have personally come across a very rare cicada,
mm-hmm.
which is only found in the forest.
Wow.
Yes, and it's only one sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are turtles in the ponds. But sad to say, you know, I've seen decreasing number. I used to see like 8 coming out to sun.
Right.
It's in my blog. I felt very lucky to have observed this sun bathing family, you know. But it's getting very difficult now to even see the turtles.
These are box turtles, right? If I
remember. Not necessarily. They are box turtles and they are the other type.
But are these the native species? Not like the red-eared sliders, which you know are...
Okay, you got it.
The red-eared sliders.
Yes.
Okay.
We have both the sliders and the box turtles.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. And earlier I alluded to the arrival of the black-backed kingfisher. And I think that caused, as you said, quite a stir. 100 over people came. Why is this such an exciting thing?
The black-backed kingfisher, okay, for example, is a very much sought-after bird. Very rarely sighted.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to shoot because you don't get it anywhere. This year alone, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is about the only place, TRK, that birders, you know, are able to come and shoot this bird. Yes, you can see it, you sight it, sometimes flying past, but you don't see it staying. It has stayed for more than a week. I'm not sure. No, sorry. Almost a week. Until today, I'm sure there are still birders waiting at, going to Taman Rimba Kiara, waiting to sight the bird.
To get that shot,
yes.
Huh? Okay.
So I don't know whether it's still around or not.
All right. And is the park also home to some near-threatened species? I remember reading about something called a white-thighed surrealis. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Monkeys generally,
uh-huh.
if you want to call them, yes. They do come over. to TRK. Mm-hmm. But again, these are rare sightings because we have the nearby Bukit Kiara.
I see. So there's a bit of journey going on. Yeah. Okay, all right.
But what is special, again, going back to TRK, is that birds, you may be able to, you know, sight them in Bukit Kiara, but in TRK, you get closer shots. Mm-hmm. It's easier. And I believe that TRK actually could be, personally, I believe it could lie along this bird a flight path of migrant birds.
Right.
That is why we get, you know, this occasional, very rare sightings of migrant birds.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we must keep Taman Rimba Kiara.
It's such a you know, small little place, but you know, it's, as you said, it's so important to so many different types of species of birds, migratory birds, right? And if you take it away, I mean, where are these birds going to stop? Because they need to stop for that very important fueling, as it were.
Yes, it is a very essential. To me, it is TRK is an essential transit point for migrant birds.
Because it's got the water, it's got the trees, it's got the insects and everything.
Precisely.
And, you know, that whole, preserving that whole ecosystem, that is important for everyone, basically. There are also plants and trees that can be found there. I mean, just talk me through some of the ones that maybe are a little lesser known to everybody.
Well, very generally speaking, I've always grateful to this person who designed the park. I'm sure he has birds in mind. So there are so many species of trees that cater to the different birds. There was a survey actually conducted on the tree species. If you would like to, you know, I think you could follow up on that. So sorry, I'm not a technical person, so
I
can't come up with these technical names.
Sure.
But they are like flowering trees, trees that cater to birds like Brahmini kites who nest there. And then we have the flowerpeckers, sunbirds, they go for flowers.
Right.
And then you have the other birds that live in tree holes. So you need different types of trees to cater to these different birds.
Amazing.
And again, you know, in my personal record of birds species in the Taman is more than 90, which is
quite an
achievement. Yes,
yeah.
For an urban park, the average recording is 30.
Wow. Three times more.
Yes.
Amazing. And and you're there almost every day, as you said. So.
If I can.
But, you know, as a long-time resident, are you also seeing some changes, you know, within the park itself in terms of sightings of the different birds and wildlife and all of that?
Yes, definitely. When we talk about saving a park, it's not saving the park itself.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the immediate area. Okay, in the last 5 years, because of serious birding, I've seen the high-rise buildings that have come up next to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I've actually seen less raptors coming down to the park.
Okay,
I remember seeing raptors like 5 years ago. And you can go back to the park almost every day and they will be there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's like they just come down and they fly off.
Okay. All right. So it's not suitable for them to nest there anymore
Rest. More of a rest. They come to rest because these are raptors that are flying.
Migratory, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, past the park. And it's like you mentioned, there's water, there's food. Of course, raptors go for other birds as well if they can.
Mm-hmm.
Squirrels. The park has plenty of squirrels.
So there are some changes happening, of course. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the book that you wrote, A Home in the Park, A Family of Brahmini Kites, since we're talking about raptors. I mean, what inspired you to write that book and what is this book about?
Basically, a personal experience that inspired this. I was in the park and I saw this Brahmini kite hanging upside down, foaming. So I knew something had happened. And later on, and of course, it died eventually. It just... You know, bird behavior is so fascinating. The pair, I saw the bird hanging upside down and I saw the mate come along. So I was very, you know, I was practically trembling when I saw the bird. I said, what am I going to do? It's so high up. And at that time, I was pretty new in that sense, you know. I didn't know who to, you know,
approach
or get to come and help the bird down. So I just sat there watching that if anything happened, at least I could rescue the bird or just take the bird somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think the bird, the other mate, you know, sensed it. It actually swept this bird down to the ground and it came down itself and watched its mate die.
Oh dear.
So it's such a beautiful bird when it's on the ground, yeah. So I actually buried it because I didn't want, you know, a dog, for example, to come around and tear the birds.
I understand. Yeah.
To pieces.
Right.
So this was what, you know, I wanted the closure to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the book. And of course, I want TRK to be iconic for this experience.
Mm-hmm.
This is only one experience. But, you know, I have mentioned it at the back, yeah. I've explained, about how, you know, the story is written in the hope there will be sustained efforts, you know, to recognize, preserve city parks. We are talking about urban parks. You can't see this in the forest, but you can come across such experience in an urban park,
mm-hmm.
which is why, you know, urban green spaces or lungs are so important.
Yeah.
And I've said that let TRK be iconic, you know, for these stories or these experiences, not for the authorities destroying a park, not for the developer stealing a park.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, for them, it's just a piece of land, isn't it? But for the people like you, the long-term residents, the birders and everything, you actually are witnessing what is living in there, how it is teeming with life, you know.
Yes.
It's not just a space for another mega condo project or whatever that they have planned.
Well, an urban park basically constitutes a decent quality of life for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's somewhere that we can walk to anytime we want. We don't have to pay to go far,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a hobby. I mean, what else? You know,
I mean,
can I?
I mean, for you, it's nearby, but I mean, people from all around come. I mean, I come from very far away to come and visit Taman Rimbakera itself because there's so few urban parks left that are so easily accessible, you know, that we can take our children to, you know, teach them to appreciate nature. You know, it's dying. There's just so
and
few.
It's easier, you know, for a family, for, you know, I have always said, don't let your kids when they grow up, they know where a mall is. When you ask them where is Taman Rimbakera, you get a blank look.
And
it's happening, you know.
It is. And, you know, it's so important to get them young to understand the importance of ecosystems and, you know, how life is actually formed. And that is something that you guys do as well. There are also bird watching tours. And I know, as you said, a lot of birders come, but there are also tours for younger families to come.
Yes. We like to encourage that, actually. We love for families to come with their children.
Mm-hmm.
An introduction to bird watching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and hope. We hope that, the children will, you know, catch on from this little short tour.
Yeah.
And it's very easy. You don't have to come to the park as a start. Just sit in your own garden and, you know, watch for the birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm also hoping that this book, A Home in the Park, is a book that the family can take to the park, read together, you know, and point out to the kids the birds, because we have a short list of birds that are seen in the park. And you can use this as a guide.
It's about 18. Yeah, it's a beautifully illustrated book
as well. But of course, please remember that do not expect to see, you know, these birds at one visit.
Go, right? Yeah.
So it's repeat visits.
And that's why it's important to keep the park. You know, we need to see them, to get the kids not to just see drawings. Beautiful as they are, nothing beats seeing it in real life.
Right.
Yeah. And where is the book available? I understand in
MPH.
In MPH,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay,
it's like MPH.
All right. And it's I mean,
and online, I believe they are selling online as well.
It is a book for younger. Is it for younger audiences?
No, I have adults who bought it and told me how touched they are by the story.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I've been asked too whether I'm coming up with another
book.
I would love to do a series, actually, because I have the stories for the series.
Yes. Yeah. Like you said, the inspiration is right there in your backyard.
Yeah.
And talk to me about the illustrations. You know, Tae Yoo Kyung is the illustrator,
yes,
of course.
Yes, I am very honored to have him, you know, illustrate the book. I told those who come to buy the book, I say, if you don't want the story, just buy the book for the illustrations. And I have told myself, I told myself long ago, if ever I want to publish a book on birds, he is the person I would like to illustrate the book. You know, he is a bird illustrator.
Right. He's quite a well-known wildlife artist,
he is,
right?
Yes. A very concerned, active environmentalist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, you know, we're as a parent of young kids, you know, it's constant battle, like where shall we take them that's not a mall, and you know,
precisely,
parks are some of the most conducive places, you know, let them run wild, you know, they can observe nature, they can learn so much,
it's, you know, free,
it's
just
free.
Go
it's yes. free, you know, and there's and so much to be learned, like I said, teeming with
get them to go to the parks, you know, take a book, whatever book, read in the open. If they want to play on their gadget, go to the park too and play on the gadget. You know, eventually they will may just, you know, move on to something else. You know, you want to look at birds. Use your gadget. Of course, you get more, you know, real life views of birds, you know, when you look at the your gadget. So encourage the children in whatever way possible. Get them out there. And of course, you know, I would like families too to come to events like when we have like safety arcade. You know, it is actually a family affair. I don't think the parents would like it one day when the children turn around and ask them, what did you do, you know, to help save the park?
The park, yeah. I mean, we are facing climate change. We're losing all our green lungs, you know, and whatever we can save, we should save.
So whatever we can do, which is immediate to us, like the park. I'm not talking about saving the forest. But the park is a place that a family can go to, children can go to, and they can see the immediate effect of whatever is done to the park. That, I think, has more impact than talking to a child about saving this forest or that river. Start with the park. It is just next door. It's just your backyard. And increasingly, I suppose, you know, for a lot of people, we are living in condos now. So the park is either your garden or your backyard.
So, I mean, we do know that the battle is going on. And of course, we can, there's the Save Taman Rimba Kiara website to go to for updates. But, you know, if anybody is interested in taking up bird watching and, you know, learning about the birds there, I think your blog, rimbakiara.blogspot.com, that's a great place to start.
Thank you. Yes.
Any advice, you know, for somebody who wants to just, you know, they have no experience whatsoever with bird watching, but, you know, they'd like to start. What would your last piece of advice be?
I would say just go to the park. Just go to the park, walk around, you know. If you happen to meet a birder, all the better. But if not, just do it on your own. I started, you know, alone. And sometimes birding is very much a lonely activity in that sense, you know. When you are alone, in fact, you tend to see more birds. Because the birds don't fly, you know, off when they see you coming. But if you come in a group, the tendency is that you will actually frighten off the birds. But birding is very much a social activity as well.
Okay, so just kind of get there, just bring...
Yes, just go there, you know. Whether you have binoculars or you have a point and shoot, or even with your handphone, just go there, enjoy the park, the environment, the birds, you know, and let your interest grow, that's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Rosalind Chua. She's a nature blogger and she blogs on rimbakiara.blogspot.com, where she documents all the different birds that she comes across, including other wildlife and also some of the flora that's found there. And if you'd like to get her book, which is titled A Home in the Park, you can find that online and also at MPH bookstores. Right. And if you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.